since I'm 13 years old or so, I've been studying and practicing the Zen Buddhism, and I was ordained and practiced at Sandip Zen Monasteries for 9 years before I came to America. So my entire life is sort of Zen Buddhist priest. And I was wondering today whether I should come with a robe or not, consultant with Junpo, and let's go with Sangye. Otherwise, there is sort of a differentiation between your level and my gold style. So I came in this way. But when I do Zazen, and when I chant every day, I wear the robe naturally.
Get
your last question
answered. Why
wear
the robe if we're all equal and imperfect?
Not really.
Can you try again, please?
Oh, come on,
next.
Okay. Sorry, just a personal issue for me because my Zen practice has been totally scattered.
I'll answer that for you very clearly.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Okay, our next person is, I'm going to say Ed Kim again, but I know that's
Eshish.
Oh, Joel, isn't this another person? Oh, Joel, yes, you're right. My hand is covering you. It will reach that far, so keep in mind coming up.
I should do that. Thank you. First of all, I want to publicly thank Beto Roshi, Mr. Shimano, whatever his name is. I want to thank Iho. I want to thank Iho very much for putting up with 50 years of this. Yeah, you can shake your head. I see people shaking their heads. We've got to be honest here. Who's hurt most in all of these things? Wasn't me. Probably wasn't you. I'm looking at the guys who are always telling me, you're bad, Joe. You're picking on the wrong bag. Let's think about Iho for a minute. Okay, I came here to thank him, and I did thank Beto Roshi at the beginning of this meeting. And I'm sincerely grateful for him and for the Zen Study Society, Shinde Roshi, and all the other teachers I've met in this room. And I see some people from Syracuse, who I appreciate really much. Kikyo, one of the highest beings I've ever met. Miyochi, who taught me a lot. Seidan. So, okay, I'm grateful. I'm very grateful. But, you know, we're enabling here. I have a couple of specific questions, you know, because, you know, people are saying, we're going to ask specific questions. I'm going to ask Mr. Shimano. Do you remember me coming to you on June 20th, 2010? I had a letter from the board. And the letter said, and Shinde Roshi, you know, could back me up here, and other people from the board who were on board then, including Saigon. The letter said, we the board certify that nothing untoward has happened in 25 years. We know that. We know that Mr. Shimano had done some things in the past, but he's assured us. And I said to Mr. Shimano, can we put this letter out tomorrow? need their assurance. The board made me go there. And guess what? He said, no problem. He was very tired, but he had to get back up to DBZ. He had a very important job to work on. This is one of my best drama lessons, and I'm sure it's Mr. Shimano's. Because the next morning, guess what happened? We heard it described. So, you know, how could you tell me on Sunday night that you weren't having any more love affairs with women, and we could put out a letter assuring everybody in this sangha in the whole world had to get back up to work at the DBZ? He was exhausted. I know it's embarrassing what I'm saying here, right? It's the truth, though. The next morning, she stood up and said, I'm in love. Like, wow. So, did you feel like you were justified in lying to me there?
I repeat, the date was more.
Let me see, I think I might have remembered it. I think it was, it happened on, what do we call that? The 21st of the month, what do we call that? What do we call it?
We called it the Mandala
Day. Yeah, we did. Yeah. And it was June 21st, 2010. The night before was June 20th, 2010.
Okay, now I remember.
Yeah, okay.
There was a wedding year ceremony. Took place at the DBZ on the June 23rd.
24th. Must have been quickly, I know it was the 24th.
So that was the wedding between Zeho and Mariko, which I agreed to do so, and many Mariko's parents were coming from Japan and were already in New York, and I had no other choice but to go back. And in case you are attending that wedding, I said one of the things to them, but things are unpredictable, and they do not mean particular event. But now, looking back 5 years ago, my word unpredictability was certainly a predictable one.
Okay, it's unpredictable, yes. Okay, about, I'd say, July 8th, 2010, you and I met in the coffee shop on 68th Street, around the corner from the Zendo. Seigan, who's not here right now, advised me, are you still here, Seigan? Sorry, Seigan advised me, and I think correctly, don't do this in the Zendo. That's a certain setting that is controlled by Mr. Shimano. So we met in the coffee shop, and I said to you, as president of the Zendo at the time, I want to know, what are you going to do? You said you were going to take full responsibility. Kikyo told me you said that. Shinkan told me you said that. And I asked you, what does it mean that you're going to take full responsibility? Do you remember what happened when I asked you that question?
You forced me to take a 3 months vacation, go wherever you wanted to go. And I said, I don't think I can do that. But take full responsibility means I submitted the resignation from the chairman of the board and take it on July 4th, 2000.
It was true. I had that letter. But you know what I remember you saying to me? Please give me 2 weeks. Please give me 2 weeks. So 2 weeks later, we met in the Zendo. I was there. Shoteki was there. Yuho was there. And Aho was there. And at that time, I said to you, I'm going to teach you for 40 years. I know you're going to teach you even longer. I said, in my 40 years of experience, if I did what you did, I would have been fired many times. You turned to me and you said, sometimes The student has a better idea. What did you mean by that?
I don't remember what they said.
Okay, all right, thank you. A few minutes later, was the first time I heard about some kind of scurrilous party in the Zendo that people had participated in. And you sneered one of the most beloved people in my life. And I was outraged. I'm not going to say the guy's name. You all know the name. The people who know this man know he's above reproach. But you threw him under the bus. Mm-hmm. Why did you do that?
I don't remember.
Okay. And then that's okay. I hate to be like this, but I wasn't going to be this specific. But this is what it's all about here, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So we negotiated with Eiya Roshi in I think it was December. I'm looking at my hand here, like Sarah Palin. Excuse me. December of 2011. We were negotiating with Eiya Roshi up at DBZ about a settlement. That same day, Eiya Roshi wrote a letter to the New York Times. Some of you received a copy of that recently from me. Okay? The letter is full of lies. For example, Eiya Roshi says, "You never contacted me. I gave the guy your home number."
He knew what he did.
No. You didn't pick up the phone. You got somebody else to.
No.
Oh, no? Okay. Well, okay. Well, here's my question then. This is about the specifics. I was supposed to meet with you, and Shoteki was there too. We were going to meet with you on a night in December of 2011. And we had a date. We were going to talk about your letter to the New York Times, which kind of contradicted everything we had negotiated about.
2010.
I think was it 2010?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd have to check my, but here's what I remember exactly. We had a date to talk to you that night. But you called me and said, "Sorry, I have an important dinner engagement with somebody in my family. I can't make it today. Sorry." Shinkan, you're here. You told me that night you went over and installed a fax machine and Eiya Roshi was home all night. I don't need to get in on this, but I got to get specific here. So, that's another time you lied to me. Why?
Wait a minute. Shinkan's installation of a fax machine and was not 2010.
Okay. All right, maybe it was 2011 then.
No.
No?
Last year.
Shinkan?
It was the incident you're talking about. I just got back from California, and you told me you had an appointment with Eiya Roshi, and I talked to Eiya Roshi that night, and he said he didn't have an appointment. So,
well, did you install a fax machine that night?
I did.
Okay. Thank you.
So I was just informed. Well, do you want to respond?
No.
Mm-hmm. I was just informed. We can go a little bit over. So, how many people would like to, I mean, we have time for people who are listed here, but I'm wondering if everybody can stay until about 10 after 5? No, exactly 5.
Okay.
Next. Question.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I don't even know where to begin. I had so much to say. But what really,
you only have about 5 minutes.
Oh, I'll do my best. But when you said, "How can I trust you?" That really was like a rock in my chest when you said that. And I said, I must speak then. I spent years as a psychologist, as a psychotherapist. As I practice, it's not psychotherapy, number one. It's not psychotherapy. Although the boundaries do blend a great deal. There are many transferences, and Eiya Roshi's a human being too. Counter-transferences. We all want the perfect mother and father. We all want that wonderful, ideal person. But you know, Zazen practice is different. It's in my view. Like, two things I want to say, three things, quickly. I remember so clearly when I was a little girl, I was raised by this big, very incredible rabbi, very enlightened rabbi, and terrible things would happen to me, tremendously terrible things. Awful pain, one after another. And my grandfather loved me, but he said to me, "It's a tikkun." And what that means from a Jewish point of view is it's a karmic balancing. It is karma. You must learn from this. You must grow from this. This is a gift. This is a gift. And I said, what? How could this be a gift? It hurts so much. It hurts so much. Well, Zen practice hurts so much. We sit on the cushion. It hurts so much. And people do things, not only in the Zen. I'm not saying what happened is right. It's not right. What happened to you and your family is not right. None of us want to suffer like this. Nobody does. But that's why I do Zen practice and not psychotherapy. Because to me, Zen practice is getting on that cushion and sitting through the pain, not blaming somebody else for it, not hating them, not brewing up ways to get back at them, which is so easy to do. We all do that. That's our nature. But Zen practice is different. And let me say, how can you trust Eda Roshi? I remember a session when Son Roshi was there, and we were doing Zazen in the Zendo, and he said, don't go to Dakusan unless you absolutely have to. He said, this is precious Zazen time. Don't waste a minute of your precious Zazen time. Because when your mind is clear enough, I'll be finished in a minute, even a squirrel can give you Dakusan. And he don't claim to a person. Don't put it all on Eroshi or anybody. Don't be so attached to your teacher. Mm-hmm. I mean, really sitting is, you trust yourself deep. What I trust is Zazen. I trust my Zazen. Well, and I won't let anything stop me from trusting it. I won't, because it's too precious, it's too important. Eroshi's been wonderful in my life. We've had fights, which everybody knows. So what? Who cares? It's unimportant. But he's done something to me great, because he's created Zazen. An environment where we can sit, and that to me is my teacher. And the most important thing is to keep the inspiration to sit going. To sit and play. I mean, I'm good for anyone to hear this.
Patrick, and then Larry, and then we're done. Then Shinge will approach you. So Patrick?
I'm Patrick, and I've sat with three Zen teachers who have all been accused on the internet of the same thing. I've also been to Burma and sat in the old tradition, and I love old stories, and I read all kinds of books, and I'm currently in the Tibetan tradition. But in the old stories, they forbid monks from touching women. And if you have to get an object from the woman has to place it on a table, and then the monk picks it up. And that's the Buddha's instructions. And my concern is that as all the Buddhist traditions are blending in America, maybe some of the old patterns could come back and visit with Sam to protect us. You know, I'm a man, I know my desires, and I know what happens when I'm alone with a woman. My insidious mind shows up, you know. And there's a reason why monks and nuns have been separated for thousands of years. That's
it. And then Larry?
I'm in a kind of privileged position here because I'm peripheral to the Zendo. I've known Eda Roshi for many years. I did an article when Dabur's also opened. I did an article for the New York Times Magazine, which a lot of people are angry at me for doing because he was then, people who angered him then. So I'm not offering any apology here, not offering any conclusion. I certainly can't add anything to what you said, Vishen. But as I'm sitting here, I'm thinking of the virus of ISIS that's spread through the world right now, the virus of terrorism. And what we share with Muslims is bowel. That's one thing we know that they do and we do, and we all do it differently. Maybe they do it a lot more. But I would suggest that one thing we're seeing with the terrorists and the Paris attacks is people who release energy through bowel and don't know what to do with it. I did a residency at Mutology there, and people there talked about monks who had Kenshaw and Kevin's help. So I want to suggest that what we're seeing here is the release of the energy, the wonderful energy that we develop here, and no one developed it more than Eva Roshi in my experience. But when we have that energy, it is dangerous. It is the terrorist in ourselves. And particularly in a profane culture like we live in right now, the media dominates it, media feeds terrorism. We are bowing, we're doing sashin. Like you said, you go into sashin, you become totally vulnerable. Adolf admitted that he became totally vulnerable too, as I understand it. He grabbed whoever he could grab. He was vulnerable to his own sexual energy. If I were a Zen master and I had a beautiful girl in front of me, like Yoko-san, I don't think I would be able to resist. Not for a moment. Maybe I just don't want to give myself credit. All I want to say is that we are dealing here with energy that we take a great risk when we do this practice. And so what we shall all take from this is the compassion for this Zendo, for this practice, for Zen students, for the whole Dharma, that we all come together to listen to the energy all the time. It's there, we're going to use it. Thank you.
So,
What dismays me about this meeting is how many people bring their own personal baggage of anger having to do with their life disconnected from this sangha, and put that baggage on this sangha to splinter this sangha and totally disrespect the unity that brings us all here together.
I wasn't included in the unity.
Okay, the closing is going to be given by Shri Roshi. It has been a suggestion that we just have a moment of silence. Regroup for a moment before Shingo speaks. Thank you.
First of all, I'd like to speak with you directly in worship in front of everyone gathered here. I very well remember that night when we finished working together on your part and Mama Dago saw, and how intimate our connection was. How truly amazing it was to share the details of our early lives. So when you threw your arms around me, I felt nothing but that loving intimacy. When it turned into a sex act, I was surprised. I was, in fact, quite shocked. But I felt the love. I didn't feel I was being taken advantage of. I thought, well, this is going in an unexpected direction, but there is this feeling, and I can trust it. And after, we never spoke about it. And when we left to go to New York and came back again, it was as though nothing had ever happened. Then, after that May 1975 night, months later, I started hearing that this was not just an isolated act of loving intimacy, but that what was going on? What was going on with a lot of people? And I left early part of 1976 feeling that out of solidarity for my Dharma sisters, I could not stay, even though I truly loved you. And I have to say, without Kimball, I never would have come back. He wrote me a letter in 1990 and said, things have changed. Tried, I went back, without sashimi. You were as magnificent a teacher as ever. I stayed with blinders on, and for that, I am truly sorry to all of you. I privileged my own practice over what I heard as what I thought were rumors. I did not pay any attention. I kept going back for session. I had the most wonderful Zen teacher. I learned so much, but I am truly, truly sorry for all the pain that others were experiencing that I was not able to help you. So what I want to do right now is ask everyone, please, deeply, deeply, reach into your heart. We've heard a lot of pain. We've heard a lot of gratitude, too. We can heal together if we are honest. If we really put this out to each other, we're here for you. Flawed as we are, we want this practice to prosper. We want to offer it. It works. I've been in an untenable position these 5 years. I was given this position by my dear teacher. Afterwards, I had to call him and say, you can't come back. I've tried my best. Probably not as well as you would have liked. Many of you probably think that I've done a bad job, but I have tried my best. And if you'd like me to step down, please tell me right now. I'm happy to do so. Anyone?
You don't get out so easy.
I would like to end with, today is Mangala Day. May we chant Namodai Bosa.